Good evening. We're going to wrap up this series of lessons this evening. I'd like to begin where we started, or end where we started, in Hebrews 11. Verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That's sort of the theme of what we've been talking about in this series. If we're going to please God, we have to live by faith. Central to our life in service to God is faith. The more I think about it, the more convinced I am that faith, I don't think I think it's what the scriptures teach, faith is central to what we do with respect to God. And we must, you and I, grow our faith, develop our faith, put our faith to the test, and having tested it, then grow stronger. And as we continue in the faith, as we grow in our faith, we're more assured of what we do and what the outcome of this life will be. We're going to talk about to the victor goes the spoils. We talked on Sunday morning. In fact, let me go to the next slide. We talked Sunday morning about the victory in Jesus, the victory in Christ. And we summarized some things that Jeff talked about and Brother Cogdo wrote in his book. And that is the victory in Christ gives us greater free foundation than any of man's doctrine. It is better. The faith gives us God's governance, and we accept that. We know that he is the authority that guides our lives. Faith gives us greater purpose than serving ourselves. Faith gives us greater hope than temporary happiness. Faith makes it possible to win the battle against ourselves. It enabled us to overcome sin and have victory over sin. And having done that, it enabled us to win the victory then over the world. We talked about that Sunday morning. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it this evening. But those are great benefits that we have in Jesus. So we're talking this evening about some other things related to that. And what I talk about is what I call victory produces advantages to us. Now, let me say something at the beginning of this, because in my mind, this is not an exclusive list. It's not the only ones. What I picked out were passages that directly connect faith with this advantage. But there are lots of others. Advantage of having fellow Christians comes by having faith. Relationships we have with other people throughout the world through Christ. The very fact that we live a certain way, in my judgment, is an advantage. It is best for us. So the ones I want to talk about are ones where there are scriptures that actually connect the two directly together. Christians who put their complete trust and confidence in God and in Jesus Christ, his Son, gain remarkable advantages in this life. Christians who believe and obey the Lord set out on a journey of service that will lead to a final reward in heaven. So there are advantages and rewards now, and there's eternal reward at the end of this life. And I think in that way, we are, as Paul said, more than conquerors. So, faith saves us. Well, why do we need to be saved? What are we saved from? Yes, sir.
I just want to go back to the previous.
Yes.
The previous one. Yeah, as far as the true only if the society that you live in allows it. Let's say, for example, if you're a Christian in China, maybe a disadvantage.
I'm not hearing. Take your mask off. Say it again.
No, I was saying, like, as far as gaining advantages in this life, can you say that is true depending on the society that you live in? For example, a Christian in China, for example, maybe a disadvantage by being.
Well, okay, I understand what you're saying. If you look at it from a worldly point of view, yes. If we're concerned about our physical well-being, it may be a disadvantage, as it was in New Testament days. Those folks were tortured, killed. But we're talking about something of spiritual value and eternal value. And in that sense, we do still gain. Does that make sense? Well, I think if you look at the previous slide, some of those summary points are victories we win. We win over philosophy. I have a sermon about freedom, Christians and freedom. And one of the points I make is that we're free from the capriciousness of men. And that's human philosophy, human religions. And we're not subject to the whims and convolutions that people go through. That's a victory. I don't have to worry about what my religious group is going to decide next year about something. The Baptist Convention right now, I read the other day, is in a huge turmoil because they're arguing about critical race theory. I mean, and if you're in that congregation, that group of people, which side do you go to? And one of them argues that's not a biblical question. The other one say, well, this is a social question. Well, I'm thrown into the throes of socialism, social decisions, rather than scriptural decisions. So that's a victory, okay? It's a victory over governance. Who do I listen to when I want to know what's right and how to live? God is my authority, and I'm not subject to any other authorities with respect to how to live in Christ. Get the idea? So if you look at each one of these, you see that victory. And I think Brother Cogdell's point is we learn to have victory over ourselves. That is, faith lets us do better than we would normally do. Faith lets us overcome sin because through faith we have our sins forgiven. Those are victories.
One of the ones I was thinking about on Sunday is, on that point, gives us a greater hope than temporary happiness. On the flip side of this, it gives us greater hope beyond the affliction or the duress that we may be experiencing in this life.
Right.
And it kind of points to the Chinese thing.
Right.
It gives them hope to say, this isn't everything. And, you know, if you're going through, you know, physical illnesses and those things that can oppress you from a physical standpoint, faith gives you that victory to rise above that and say, you know what, I got the bigger picture.
Right.
This isn't the end all. Faith in the Lord and the promises of, you know, none of these oppressive things happening.
Right.
Helps push people through that as well.
Exactly.
It gives you a peace of mind. It rests your mind.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't think we should ever underestimate the value of hope getting us through what we have to get through. And what Paul said something about those who die outside the Lord, where do they find hope? We're not like those who have no hope. Because we live in hope now, we also live in hope of eternity with judgment. That help, Anthony. Okay. So I think those have a very helpful things for that. And we can overcome the world. through that. We overcome the world and its influences. So, these are also victories, by the way. But I see them more as, if you think about how you live your life, this is a great advantage we have through our faith. Ephesians 2 says, by grace you've been saved through faith. And it's God's grace saves us through our faith. It is God's gift to us. 1 Peter 1:9 says, we have every reason to rejoice because of the genuineness of your faith, of our faith. And then it says, may be found to praise, honor, and glory in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You can also look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, the rest of that passage. In verse 8 it says, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, salvation of your souls. So one of the things that we gain is salvation of our souls. You think about the people on the day of Pentecost who were convicted of sin. Under the old Jewish system, what would happen to those sins? They'd be rolled forward. But in Christ, what happened to them? They're gone. I mean, we can live as Christians with no sin. I'm not saying we don't commit sin, but if I commit sin, 1 John says, I have an advocate with the Father who will forgive us our sins. He is the price paid. And as long as I'm willing to repent, seriously repent, pray to God to forgive me, my sins are gone again. I mean, what a joy that is. What a benefit that is for us. I have to move on pretty quickly. Second one, faith purifies our heart. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your hearts in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born of God, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. In Acts 15, so God who knows the heart acknowledges them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, talking about Cornelius, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting yoke on the neck of disciples? And again, that's the advantage of knowing that you can have a pure heart, that you can live a pure life, that you have, by the power of God and your faith, the ability to purify yourself before God. We are winners when our hearts are purified. We can escape the sins that deteriorate our souls. In that same vein, faith justifies. Romans 3, 21 through 26, through faith we have been justified by his grace. Romans 5, 1 says, we are justified by faith. Romans 1, 17, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. You ever been accused of something that you hadn't done? And how bad it made you feel? But then when somebody said, here's the proof they didn't do that, and you were justified in what you did, you were made right, you're deemed correct. Now, the only way it happens with us, with respect to our sins, is that God deems us justified through faith. It says we have faith in him, obey his will. He is willing to forgive us our sins and bring us back into alignment with him. He's justified us. Those who live by faith, he has justified. We stand with the ruler of the universe as his righteous people because he has brought us back into alignment with himself and his will. We do that by faith. Any questions or comments? Faith sanctifies. Acts 26:17, the passage we talked about before, Paul was called to preach to those hearers who would receive righteousness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. 2 Thessalonians 2, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel. What does sanctification mean? Excuse me? Right. Set apart for a special task. This, by the way, is very akin to what Jeff talked about. Having a purpose. Having a commendable, worthy purpose in our lives. We've been called out of the world into Christ for a worthy cause and purpose. Now, we're not just set adrift, but he's given us tasks, responsibilities that are worthy of the faith that we have. And that's a great advantage. We have purpose in this life. We have been sanctified, set apart from the world for God to do his will. Those who live by faith are his justified or sanctified. He has set us apart from the world as his own special people to live in and for him. Great advantage of our faith and its victory. Faith enables us to be children of God. John 1, one of my favorite passages. But as many as he has received him, to him he gave the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. He gave the power, the ability to be children of God to those who believe in his name. Galatians 3:26, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. By faith we are the children of the living God who rules the world, who will bring all into subjection to himself. Think about that. Think about the significance of saying, I am an adopted child of the creator of this universe. And what does a father, a normal, good father, do for his children? He takes care of them. He loves them. He listens to them. He responds to them. He provides for them what they need. We can approach our Father in prayer. What a terrific advantage that is. That we can, as ourselves, not as some priestly class or some phenomenal powerhouse, but just us, can pray to God, talk to him. And not only can we talk to him, he can understand us and perhaps know better what we need than we know. So what ought we do? Ought we to be doing? What ought we to be doing regularly? Praying to God. And yet, that's probably one of the most neglected advantages we have. I'm looking at me now. What a tremendous advantage to talk to a father who loves me, who's willing to take care of me. He's willing to answer my prayers, sometimes telling me no because it's not good for you. And I ignore it. What a waste. We can depend on him to care for us and listen to our prayers. He's made us promises as his children. And that ought to provide us a stability to act as his children. What a tremendous advantage if we think about it. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That Christ may dwell in your hearts. And because of that, you are rooted and grounded in love. Christ dwells in our heart through faith. So we are rooted and grounded in love, that we may understand the width and the height and the breadth and the depth of God's love and be filled with his righteousness. When I was doing a program for the state, I talked to an advisor about what I ought to include in the proposal. And she says, make sure it has lots of width and depth. And I thought, what in the world is she talking about? And I finally learned out what she was talking about. It meant that it had to cover lots of stuff and lots of detail, down to the very small details. And what Paul is saying here is that when you know the love of Christ and Christ dwells in your heart, you begin to understand the width and the depth and the height and the length of God's blessings. You know all the parameters of it. You can know the love of Christ in every fiber of you. What a great advantage that is, that we have as just children. Faith provides peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which you stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2, 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." He's talking about Jew and Gentile. And he's saying that because of Christ, the wall that divided Jews and Gentiles is gone. The enmity that was between them is gone, and now there's peace. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Let me suggest these two passages do two things for us with respect to peace. Number one, it gives us peace with God. What's the opposite of peace? hostility, war, enmity, conflict, lots of the adjectives. What Paul says in Romans is that through faith, we have peace with God. So before that, what relationship do we have with God? We were at war with Him. We were enemies. Enemies. They were at enmity. When we sin, we create ourselves as enemies to God. Through faith and Jesus Christ and His blood, that enmity is gone. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this relationship. We are at peace with God by faith. The second, however, is we're also at peace with other people with whom we might normally have enmity, Jew and Gentile in this case. And we have lots of friends. But very often in Christ, we have friends who have entirely different perspectives than we do. Backgrounds, cultures, histories, nationalities, China. And yet, because of Christ, we are at peace with them. Think about Ming Wei over at college from China. We would have absolutely no connection with him whatsoever except through Christ, which made it possible for him to come to college. Talked to Wilson Copeland about his dealing with the Chinese folks. Talked to Bob Owen about his relationship with people down in Ethiopia. And just all over the world, people of all different cultures, climates, languages, all like that kind of situation. And yet we are at peace with them through faith in Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous advantage for you and me. Faith provides boldness and confidence. Ephesians 3, to me who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given, that is his ministry, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church and the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. One of the great advantages of faith in anything is confidence. If we didn't have faith in things, we would walk around timidly with everything. If I didn't trust things around me, I would be frightened all the time. Through faith in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, I can live a confident life because I know who He is, I believe who He is, I love who He is, and I believe what He's told me. And if the God of heaven tells me this is the way I ought to live my life, and I'm living that kind of life, I can be confident that I'm doing what. Ephesians Ephesians 6 later on. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And then he lists the implements of warfare that Christians ought to have. In verse 19 then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's attitude was he ought to speak boldly. Hebrews 3, verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you a heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhorting one another as while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We need to hold strictly to our confidence. Do we have doubts? I think we do. I think John the Baptist had doubts. In prison, that's why he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you really the one? But we can rise above our doubts through faith and have confidence in our God. Faith is our basis for hope. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We've talked about hope several times. But I want to tie this with the last one too. Therefore, brethren, having boldness through the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now notice he says, boldness enter, full assurance of faith. We need not to be timid about our faith. And then verse 23, let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Having kept the faith, God has prepared a crown of righteousness for me on that day. We're talking about hope before, and the significance of hope. Our minds ought to always go, under any circumstance where it's difficult, to the crown of life God's prepared for us. And we're assured, and our faith ought to accept the fact that whatever we have to endure in this life will be far outweighed by the value of what we gain in heaven. Faith gives us victory over death. I don't know about you, but most of us fear death. When you get older and older, like some of us folks, it gets closer and closer. And it's the great unknown. Except through faith. Through faith, it doesn't have to be unknown. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hate, sting? Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In faith, death, physical death, can't hurt me. In death, how can I say this? In faith, spiritual death can't hurt me. Because through faith, we can overcome sin. And sin is the sting of death. And I can overcome that. And we can all overcome that. So death is there. We all have to experience it. It doesn't have to be destructive. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life, Jesus said in Revelation 2:10. Our ultimate victory is a crown of life with God and His Son in eternity. Faith is the victory. Let's hold the victory. Let's take hold of the victory promised by God and His Son through the Holy Spirit. I picked some songs. I'm going to have us sing through these. I think they'll help us reinforce this idea of what faith does for us and how we ought to live by faith. So we're going to sing 4501. Barry's going to lead that one. You think about what these scriptures say, it'll make a point.
We've been asked to do just verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4.
When we perceive the state of alienation in which the soul from Thee, O God, was lost, we must believe by heaven's ordination our Lord redeemed and paid the bitter cost.
Lord, I believe.
Yes, I believe. I cannot doubt or be deceived. The eye that sees each sparrow fall is unseen and is in it all. Some days are filled with joy and expectation. Some days are dark with cares we are beset. In hours of joy or hours of tribulation, be with us, Lord, lest we forget.
Lord, I believe.
Yes, I believe. I cannot doubt or be deceived. The eye that sees each sparrow fall is unseen and is in it all.
Number 495. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. You probably know this is the same tune as I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord.
No soul. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not nimble on the brink of any that will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and near when tempests rage without, that in the danger knows no fear, in darkness knows no doubt. Lord, give me such a faith as this.
And in the same opening, in the same key, Dove Soul, 496. Lord, let my faith be like Abraham's, my path the path he trod. My gifts from you sacrificed as alms, my name the friend of God. Like others' faith, Lord, would mine be too, at work in times of fear, protecting men who would die for you on noble missions here. Lord, help me be like the patient man whose faith could long endure. Though blessed by you, tried and blessed again, in all remaining pure. And let my prayers, like the faithful prayers of prophets long ago, call down your power so that everywhere the cause of Christ will grow.
We're not going to do the last one. Thank you, Ben, for leading those songs. It's amazing how many songs we have that speak to our faith. And we need to think about those as we sing them. Consider the words as they apply to our lives. Hope this study has been helpful for you. It's always been helpful for me. And I appreciate your attention and your help in all the classes. I look forward to studying with Jeff the letters to Timothy and Titus, which will be Sunday morning. Thank you all.